Bible said to make you rich and add no sorrow. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know I'm a millionaire. You may not know that, but I'm a millionaire. Praise God. Amen. You can't tell it by the clothes I wear or the car I'm riding in, but I am a millionaire. Praise God. I'm going to get a mansion one day, and it ain't going to have wheels on it. Shout now. I mean, we're going to have a time over on streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl, one great pearl. Oh, it's going to be something. Amen. Going to be a wonderful place. You know, I noticed when they're building the temple. Come on, Sister Maxine, help me. He said they built the sheep gate and put the lock on it and the locks thereof. And they built the fish gate and the locks thereof. And it goes on down the line. Every gate, all the gates, they had to rebuild them when Nehemiah was building the temple. But you know what I noticed when I read over the Revelation? He said they built the gates. We didn't say nothing about no locks. Whew, hallelujah. Everybody's going to want in, but they won't be able to get in. And ain't nobody going to want out that's in there. We're going to have time, ain't we? Praise God. When all God's children get over there, we are going to have a good time. Praise God. Y'all been good to us. We appreciate it. We like to sing a little bit to torment you before your time. And then, of course, when we sing, everybody's so glad I quit and go to preaching. That makes the preaching better. But I'll just tell you now, amen, we appreciate the food, appreciate the offering. Hey, man, I've been wanting to leave out this building like that man that was so tight, he wouldn't even wear rubber-soled shoes because they give when you walk. Smile now. I'm talking about tight, friend. Praise God. Woo, that's tough. I don't want that. Hey, man, I want to be a giver. Amen. Years and years and years, Brother Routon came by and helped us learn how to give. And I met him the other day in Tulsa. It hadn't been a month, has it? I was sitting in a McDonald's and preaching over there at, somewhere over in Tulsa. Anyway, his wife was there and he came in and we had an opportunity to give back a little to what, he's given us and through the years in many ways. And then turned around and got a letter in the mail the other day, and there's three or four times of tithes on that he didn't owe me, didn't have to send. And you know, I found a long time ago, he's a giver too. And I'm going to tell you, when you live what you preach, no matter what you preach, it makes a difference. Really makes a difference. Appreciate Brother Routon. Appreciate Brother Bobby and these that have come. And Brother Tim coming back again tonight. They tell me it's about 2 hours. I'm going to find out how far it is because I want to go down there. I like to see God move in a special way tonight. But it's going to take the mercy of God. It'll never be by preaching. It'll never be by singing. It'll never be by, giving all in the offering. It's always going to be by the move of God. That's what we need desperately. When God touched my heart, I was untouchable and unreachable. And I just know that he went further down than I could reach up. One man said he reached down in the hole of the pit. You know, way down in the pit. But I was in the hole in the bottom of the pit. I was below bottom. Had he reached further down, I could reach up. And I want to sing about it just a minute. Sometimes I can say it better singing than I can talking. So let's try it. Praise God. You're going to help me? Yeah. I'm not on an ego trip, I'm nothing on my own. I've made mistakes, I've often slipped, just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just what I say, I'm of a special kind. While he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I'm glad he knew me. Yeah, he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. I was so unworthy of
of His mercy. And while He was on the cross, my friend, I was on His mind. A look of love was on His face, a crown of thorns upon His head. And the robe He wore that fateful day, His own blood stained it red. Though His eye was on the crowd that day, when He looked ahead in time, while He was on the cross that day, I was on His mind. And I'm glad He knew me, yet somehow He loved me. Oh, He whose glory makes the heaven shine. I was so unworthy of God's mercy, but while He was on the cross that day, when we were on His mind, help me sing it. I'm glad He knew me, yet somehow He loved me. Our friend, He whose glory makes the heaven shine. I was so unworthy of God's mercy, our church, but while He was on the cross that day, we were all His mind. Help me sing it. I'm glad He knew me, yet somehow He loved me. Well, He knew me, but He loved me. He is glory makes the heaven shine. I was so unworthy of God's mercy, but while He was on the cross, when I was on, sing it yourself, sing it to yourself. Well, while He was on the cross that day, sing it. I was on His mind. I said, while He hung on the cross that day, I was on His mind. If you feel that way, give Him praise, would you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. How do you describe it? How do you tell it? All the half has not been told. Peter said, when he finally got back to the Lord, after all we brought him through this weekend preaching, church, I want you to remember, when he got back to the Lord, he was able to say, it is joy unspeakable. I can't tell it. I can't tell it. I don't have a vocabulary for it. He, amen. Woo! He knew me. Yet He loved me. I mean, y'all don't even know me. You've been awful good to me. Some of you even like me. I'm just going to tell you now. If you really knew where I came from and who I was, you probably wouldn't listen to me preach. But if I knew where you came from and how you really were, I probably wouldn't preach to you. So we ought to start from there and let's go on. What do you say? Hope you don't misunderstand that. I'm talking about I'm a has-been. 36 years ago I was, but not since then. I don't know nothing but serving God. My boy was 4 years old. We got saved. He don't know nothing but serving God. Amen. We try to leave the past behind, but I've been told by different men in the movement, some of them that I count as being elders and prophets and apostles. I ought to give my testimony from time to time, and I felt like that is what I would do. Amen. Tonight, turn with me to the book of John chapter 3.
I'm sure you think I'm going to read a very familiar passage, but I don't ever do what's very familiar. I don't ever do what everybody else does. Isn't that right, Brother Ricky? So I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, if you want to follow along, just these four verses here. Jesus answered him, Nicodemus said, "How can I be born again?" Well, this is what Jesus said. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." That's a capital S on that Spirit. I want you to notice that. That's not just his Spirit. That's God's Spirit. "He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit," capital S, "is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you," what? "Ye must be born again." Ye must be born again. Ye must join the church. Ye must be baptized. Ye must have long hair and long sleeves. Ye must not. But I couldn't stop there. I could go all night on what you must not. Say amen. Most preachers spend a lot of time on must not. But Jesus spent his time on you must be born again. "Then he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wants to, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the," capital S, "Spirit." Not your spirit, not my spirit, not a spirit of this world or the spirit of the age or the spirit of some great prophet or teacher or popular preacher in these days and hours. Amen. But born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. There's only one way to do that, friend. Repent of your sin and be really sorry. First you confess it. And then you do your best to forsake it. And then you repent of it. And then the Bible tells me in 1 John 1:9 that he is faithful and just, amen, to forgive you and to cleanse you of all your sin. By you, I mean me collectively. I'm preaching to you tonight. You'll understand that. Amen. But I'm telling you, it's for all of us. We must be born again. Amen. Thank you. And you can be seated. I'll just tell you right now, your prayers. I'm going to ask you to pray the Lord anoint us right quick. Father, in Jesus' name, we need your touch and anointing, your power, your mercy, and your grace. We need the unction to function tonight. Amen. The power from on high. Oh, let it anoint this preacher and let it anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearers. And let it bear fruit for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody say it. Amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to start with the heart. That's easy to remember. I learned a long time ago from a great preacher that you can rhyme things and you can say things and metaphors and pictures and all this. And people will remember it. People, do you remember what this is all about right here? If I had that little jar of honey, would you remember what I'm talking about? Huh? If you were here Sunday morning? Amen. The main thing is that we get it. And we got to get it in our heart. Sometimes we start with, we got to get out of our house. We start with what we've got to get off our mind. We start with cleaning out our pickup truck or our car. And we clean this out and throw that away and this, that, and other. And friend, I mean, put it down now. I'm a holiness preacher. And I can handle all that stuff and a little more than you can handle. Praise God. I've been at it 36 years and I've seen it go up and I've seen it go down and I've seen a lot of folks go out. But I never believed that any one of them ever had it in their heart. Woo! You fall in love with Jesus. You ain't never going to be disappointed. You'll never want to walk off and leave him. You'll never, amen, give him a goodbye hug and then pat the devil on the way out the back door. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, you will never, never want one again. Amen. That spirit that dwells in Christ Jesus will also in you. That same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. I believe
believe that that same Spirit will bring life to us and we'll be born again. And friend, without being born again, we can talk about it all we want to. We can preach about it, sing about it. We can write books about it, tell stories about it. Amen. But I'm telling you, until we've got it ourselves, we really don't know what we're talking about. Woo! And it's hard to convince somebody of something you don't believe. That's why he said to Nicodemus, who was a great teacher and a great instructor and called a master and all that. Oh, his son, he said, you need to be born again. But he wasn't just talking to Nicodemus. He was talking to us. I had no concept of this as a child. My mother sat at the coffee table and she drank her coffee and smoked her cigarette. Amen. Wore her shorts. Amen. And that's just the way she lived. And somehow or another, some people came and knocked on the door. I thought it would be wholeness people. We're the ones got the Holy Ghost. Amen. But why do we hide behind the door when the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons come knocking? Come on, tell me that. My mama sat there as confused as anybody could be. She was disappointed, disillusioned. Amen. She started out in a Pentecostal church, but did not stick with it. And when we moved to where we lived in Muskogee, Oklahoma, she did not know anything really about God, but she was hungry. She was hurting. Her life was in a mess. She'd been divorced. My dad had been divorced. She'd been beat up and abused by an alcoholic husband. I make no excuse for any of that. I can't help where I come from, can you? Come on, anybody in here start as a Baptist? Anybody start as a Methodist? Catholic? Anybody start out in some other denomination? You can't help where you start. Amen, but you can help where you finish. And that's what I'm trying to do. Amen, somewhere along the line, she was just, amen, crying that day. And they knocked on the door and said, do you understand your Bible? Do you realize what's going on in the world and what a turmoil and mess it was in? This would have been in 1952. And that's how long ago they thought the world was coming to an end. But they didn't have the signs we have now. And they didn't have the ability to decide and decipher what we do now. Amen. The Bible said there'll be two prophets and they'll lay in the street 3.5 days and every eye shall behold them. How could we have done that then? But we got a little thing called a satellite now. And some folks, even in church, amen, can kick theirs open. Oh, look at me now. Amen. And watch the movie or look at the news on their little machine in their hand. Every eye could behold it now. But we didn't understand it. And we did the right thing. Amen. We preached like Paul. Some of you will never sleep. And Jesus is coming back. And I want to be ready, don't you? Amen. But she didn't understand it. And some way, somehow, they dropped a little watchtower and a wake in her hand. Amen. And she began to read it. And they said, look, listen to me. You listen to me now. They said, we'll come to your house. They didn't say nothing about coming to church or the kingdom hall. They had enough about them to help somebody else be like they were. Woo! I've heard them tell me, trying to talk me into being something else, especially oneness people. Well, you just ought to talk to our pastor. I said, I'm talking to you. Are you going to heaven or hell? Amen. Listen, I just put it right back in their court. Amen. And then they would dribble out the front door. But anyway, that's another story. I'm telling you now, my mama needed some answers. She needed some help. She was hurting, living a sinful life. Amen. And they came in and said, we'll come to your house. You can drink your coffee. You can wear your shorts. You can smoke your cigarettes. Amen. But we'll come in here and we'll talk about the Bible. We'll give you magazines. We'll give it all to you. Amen. And we'll tell you what it is God really wants you to do. But they never mention being born again. Never mention Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Well, I know I could spend all day talking to you about it. And I will if you need to. You need some help with a JW or a Mormon or something, let me know. I'd be glad to help you. Amen. I'm telling you, they don't claim that Jesus Christ was anything but an angel. He was like Michael and Gabriel, and he came down to the earth and paid the price that Adam lost. He was perfect, could not sin. Come on, could not sin. How does that help you and me if we decide that Jesus could not sin?
when he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He could have sinned, but he chose not to. You know how he had the power? The Bible said he went up in Matthew 4 in the Spirit. Woo! In the Spirit, great God. Into the wilderness and defied the devil. Preached to him and ran him off. Amen, great God. We don't get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen, we're going to fall for anything. I mean, we'll take any lie, any deception. We've already fell for some stuff and been embarrassed. It's time to stand on the black back book and say, thus saith the word of God, thus saith the Lord. Can you say amen? Get back to the book. Does your look match the book? I just thought I'd ask you that. See if I can make some of you say something if it wasn't nothing but on me. And he said, they said, we're going to talk to you. You go home, just do what you're doing. Crank your TV up, whatever. When we come in, just turn it down a little bit. Come on now. I'm talking to holiness people. I've lived it longer than some of you have been saved. Some of you have been alive. So if you got, I don't even like to preach this. I'd like to go on, so I had something else I'd rather do. But I'm telling you, we need to hear it. Why weren't we knocking on our door? When's the last time you knocked the door? How old are you and never had a Bible study? And never talked to nobody serious about doctrine? And can't take them through the Bible enough to tell the four fundamental truths of the Word of God? What's wrong with us? And we want the Holy Ghost to shout. We want the Holy Ghost to sing. We want the Holy Ghost to run. We like to dance. And brother, I'm a dancer. I never quit dancing. I just changed partners. Hey. I'm telling you right now, friend, I love it. But I'm telling you that is not what he said. I will give you power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Woo! How little old light shining just don't seem to be working. It's all right. The kids want to sing. I'm going to let my little light shine. Friend, we need to get out a blowtorch. We need to get out our 150,000 candle watt and quit hunting deers and coyotes and start hunting sinners. Somebody help me. I said start hunting for what God told us to hunt for and fish for who God told us to fish for. And that was men, women, boys and girls who are lost and going to an eternal hell. So they started studying with her. And all my life, that's the way I was raised. When I was 15, I was having Bible studies in people's homes. I know it was ungodly doctrine. I know it was perverted. I know they had to write their own Bible to make it work. I could tell you more about it than you could even imagine. They've changed the coming of the Lord 7 or 8 times already. I asked my mama, I said, how many banks do you have to rob to be a bank robber? How many, brother? Just one. How many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? She said, just one. And I said, how many times do you have to falsely prophesy the coming of the Lord before you become a false prophet? She didn't answer me. Got a sick headache and went to bed. That's the way she handles everything. Gets a sick headache and goes to bed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, it ain't just the women doing that nowadays. I'm telling you right now, friend, we need to be accountable. The Bible said, be ready at all times, brother, and you can help me to give an answer. For the calling, the hope that lies within you. Oh God. Well, sir, I know I work with you every day. I know I talk to you across the fence, neighbor, every day. But you just got to talk to my pastor. Oh, you limp-livered weasel. Great God. I mean, you are a mess. You are a despicable disgrace to the holiness movement. Amen. You've been in Sunday school all these years, lesson after lesson after lesson. You got a stack of books this high at home, and you've studied every one of them, and you still can't tell nobody how to get saved. We're in trouble. The world, it ain't the world's fault. It ain't the devil's fault. If the people go to hell, it's the church's fault. We need to get up and tell them. We need to sing about it, shout about it, run about it, have our Bibles. Do everything we can to get the doors open and get them here. But we have got to reach the lost at any cost. That's the cry of Pentecost. Woo! It's going to be a little stout for some of you. Amen. And I'm telling you now, Jesus said, go ye. And then you'll get up and quote the scriptures. Well, if you don't keep his commandment, but you're talking about somebody else, aren't you? You're talking about their dress or their attitude or their lifestyle or they got a TV or whatever. And you're saying, well, if you don't keep His commandments, oh my. Amen. If you love me, you'll keep mine. Yeah. What about the one that says, go ye into all the world. Yeah. Go ye to your next door neighbor. Yeah. Yeah. Go ye at work. Go ye on the job. Go you to Walmart. Go you to the post office. You pass people today that their hearts were broken and shattered. Maybe they were even crying. I don't know. You pass people, if you've been out of your house, amen, and been out of this church house, that are dying lost without God. Amen. And what did you do? What did you tell them? How did you reach them? What did you do? Amen. You can take a track and just leave it in the bathroom. Amen. Somebody will get it. It's God's Word. Somebody will get it. Amen. You know what they did? They just kept on coming and kept on coming. Well, friend, a lot of that stuff fell off. A lot of that stuff she gave up. Amen. Why? Because she wanted to make it. And they have rules like everybody else. Amen. And so they began to drill into us. Amen. The doctrine. Amen. By the time I was 16, 17 years old, amen, I'd give 100 hours of pioneer service or pre-service. I had no car. I had no money. I rode my bike or walked 100 hours. I kept track of the hours, and I kept track of the doors that I knocked, and I kept track of the ones that weren't home and went back and checked on them later. 100 hours as a junior, 100 hours as a senior, amen, that I gave trying to propagate that mess. Amen. Well, I'm glad our young people are going to youth fire. But I hope they get enough fire there to come on back. Amen. And get out in the fields and say not. Amen. 4 months and yet come the harvest. But say it's ripe now. Sinners are lost now. They had another earthquake in Japan. They're going to have some more, friend. We're going to have some more. God's so sick of California, He's washing it off into the ocean. Amen. They're ungodly homosexual ways. God is sick of it. He's dealing with America. There's going to be some earthquakes here before it's over because God hates sin. Somebody lift your hand and say, praise God. God hates sin. I'm going to tell you now, you get upset with your preacher for preaching sin. There's a big old altar up here. There may be enough room on it for you to pray all the way through. My friend says fruit, shoot, and root. Come on. So, when I turned 18, my dad's a Marine. Always had a flag flying. Always was patriotic. Never believed that junk. He'd go out there, he had a Lincoln back there about when I was still at home, 60-something. 4, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever. Maybe I wasn't at home, but I'd come back. And have one of them electric antennas, and you turn on the radio, and the antenna come up, right? You remember that? That's when they had antennas. But anyway, back in the antediluvian age. But you know what? He'd go out there, and he'd taped an American flag on there. And he went out to Kingdom Hall to pick up Mama one day, and he honked on purpose. He didn't use the honk, but he honked. Everybody looked, and he turned the radio on. Woo! And there went that American flag. Just a flying great guy. That's the kind of guy he was. Come on now. He was genuine Marine, genuine American. He only bought American. My nephew pulled up in our yard in a Datsun. He come up out of that chair and said, get that car out of my yard. I said, what? And Ronnie said, what do you mean, Grandpa? He said, get that Jap junk out of my yard. He said, well, where am I going to park? He said, park in Tokyo, but you ain't parking it here. And now, friend, and now we're so proud they're building their little plants over here so we can make a stinking lap wage and they can get rich and use the money to make bombs to blow us up just like they did in 1941. I tell you, we're slow learners. Slow learners, friend. If you're driving a Japanese car, there'd be a good place to pray up here for you in just a little bit. I'm telling you, I believe that if we don't stand for this, friend, we're going down with them. We already owe China more money than any one of us could pile up. Amen. A whole nation could pile up in a lifetime. And we're getting deeper and deeper and deeper in debt thanks to your President Obama. So I'm just going to tell you, we're in trouble. But God is going to have a remnant. God's going to have a faithful people. Wherever you buy and sell, Yeah, I'm just telling what my daddy said, but I live it. But anyway, I'm telling you now. He said, son, he was trying to get me out of there. He said, son, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay your way to electrician school in Dallas. They got a school down there. I said, okay, I'd like to go. That's what I'd like to do, electronics and electricians. I took 2 years of radio electronics in high school. Hey, man, first thing, you ain't going to believe it. First thing I built was a TV, and it worked. It actually worked. Now, I blowed up, shot up, and throwed rocks to a bunch of them. Amen. But I'm telling you now, that was where I started. And you can't help where you started either, can you? Amen. But somewhere along the line, amen, I made my way to Dallas, Texas. It paid my way. We started going to electrical school, and it was kind of a scam and a sham. It wasn't really what it's supposed to be. And so I punched one of the fellas, and I said, let's go cruising tonight. Let's go. We're going to go. I don't know. We'll find a place. Maybe we'll go to Dairy Queen. About that time, amen, my wife and her girlfriend had left church. This was on a Wednesday night there in Dallas. And she said, what do you want to do? Let's go Dairy Queen. Amen. So we almost run into each other trying to get the same spot. But when I looked in there and seen that brown-eyed, brown-haired Indian smiling, that radiant smile she has, I backed up like a gentleman and let her in. Are you boys listening to you still? No. You can't even pick up your own feet. How are you going to pick up your own socks? Amen. Somewhere or another. Hey, God, help these boys. Help them before they get a woman. Woo! Amen. I'm telling you. Amen. I fell in love right then. I asked her for a date. I ain't going with you nowhere. Amen. But you can go with us to church. I went to church. And the preacher preached the very first time I ever heard it, Brother Routon, I ever heard that Jesus was the Son of God, that He loved me and died for me. I couldn't believe it. Why would He do that? I couldn't understand it. I couldn't figure it out. But I shot myself up to that altar and got genuine born again. I really got saved. I mean, God got a hold of us. We got happy. We started working with the youth. We were doing all kinds of things. Amen. I had a job at the post office and worked part-time. Are you boys listening? Well, first off, I want to tell you I had a job. Some of you couldn't melt a job and pour it on you and get you to stick. Come on here. But I'm talking about I had a job. And then I had, amen, I drove a cab at night when it was too dark to paint. And when it was light, I painted. Amen. And part-time, I worked at Sears as a salesman, was one of their top salesmen in men's clothing. I'm telling you, man, if you want to do it, you can do it. We're in the right country. You can do what you want to do. If you just won't sell yourself so short. Making money. Making money. See, I like stuff. And I found out you can either steal it or buy it. I didn't want to go to jail, so I got a job. Woo! Had to sink in sometime this week. Some of you folks are working, coming on out to revival. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I've always worked. I work when I go in revivals. They call them working revivals. Put on fellowship halls, put on roofs, done plumbing, done wiring. Hey, amen. I did end up being a licensed electrician in Texas, but whatever. The point is, I met her and we got in church. But 3 months later, I'm in Sears. And she's walking across there carrying a letter. Man, I didn't know. I thought maybe Hezekiah's letters. Amen. Didn't get answered or something. I don't know what it was. Amen. But the letter said, I'd like to invite you to a party we're having over in the jungle. Uncle Sam wants you to go, and he's going so much so, he's going to pay your way. Amen. I got drafted. 3 months we were married, and I got drafted. Well, long story short is this. I got involved in alcohol and drugs and all. When I flew off that plane at Da Nang, amen, the bombs were already falling. The tarmac and all was tore up. There were holes in it. Amen. And it was just, they were shooting at us. I told them, I said, I ain't made nobody mad. What's everybody tore up about? But it was tore up when I got there. And they were trying to kill us. Amen. And I want you to know, I had to have help. I had to have strength to make it. Amen. And then I got out in the jungle. The first thing I saw was a poppy field. I don't know if you know that opium comes from the poppy. Amen. There's poppies just as far as you can see, bright red and wild. Over on this side, marijuana growing wild. Amen. Well, I went wild. I can't blame the devil because I was saved. I went back, Brother Bobby. I slid back into. Well, I never had drink. I never had smoked at all. Amen. But I sure had. I come from Okie, from Muskogee. We didn't even know they had drugs. When I was in school, some of them I have. I never heard of such a thing. Take something, smoke something, ingest something, and it'll make you go nuts. I was going nuts without it. I didn't need it. But I'm telling you now, I got all into it. And by the time I come back to the States, I was all fouled up. Our home was tore up. I was running around. I got me a Harley and got to riding. I had, I don't know how, I've lost count of how many rent houses. We had a new home built in Mesquite. Amen. A suburb of East Dallas. Amen. Well, I had a boat. Amen. A big 100 horse motor back in 72, 3, and 4. That's pretty good size. Amen. I had a nice 5-window. Amen. 55 Chevy pickup. You notice it was a Chevrolet. Amen. And somewhere along the line, glory to God. Amen. I got my Harley, and she had her own car. We had furniture. The kid Mikey was about 3 or 4, and Deanne was probably about 6. I'm going to tell you, friend, everybody thought I had the world by the tail. I always had a big wad of money. When I drove a cab at night, they paid you in cash. I always had money. I had rent money coming in. Amen. I'm working for the United States Post Office. I don't ever say Postal Service because postal and service don't go in the same sentence. It's what's called an oxymoron. But anyway, hallelujah. Yeah, we tried to tell them 40 years ago. They stopped Saturday delivery, and if you're driving by 113 Wilson Street, take them their stinking package. But oh, no, we couldn't do that. Just take the letters. And the union got into it. And then along come UPS. Hey, man, and what's that other bunch? FedEx. And they said, we'll bring you a package on purpose. Now they're two of the biggest companies in the world, and the post office is going broke. Come on. All y'all that's all pro-union, just look at me funny right now. And I'll know. I'm going to tell you, I appreciate a good paying wage. But I'll tell you, when they won't let you work because it's out of your craft or out of the way, that friend, they're not doing America a service. And they're not doing you a service. You're going to end up like one of them old-timers on my job. There was 5 of them. They never hit a lick at a snake. And all they were waiting on was retirement age. They'd put out 0 of productivity in a day. If they were working for themselves, they'd have starved to death in 3 days. America don't need no more of that. Okay, I might be a little political for some of you, so I'll go on. But it messed me. I was vice president of the Dallas local APW. That's American Postal Workers Union. I found out what it was all about. I gambled away most of my union money and theirs in Las Vegas at their expense. I've got a lot of stories to tell you. Carter's got a lot of liberal pills, so we got to move on. But I'd gone far as I could go. I was riding with the Banditos. We went to Chalk Hill. Your pastor knows where Chalk Hill is, down on Jefferson, just past Souls Harbor. Yeah. And you're going down the road, Ville Big turns left. You go down there, and there's a little shack, or there was, with skull and crossbones on the front. It was called a scorpion's den. That's where the scorpion bikers hung out. We all went over there. Amen. Kicked over the door. A bunch of shotguns went off. Now, you can mess with a biker's dope. It wouldn't be a good idea, but you could. And you could mess with his woman, and that would be bad. But you don't touch his motorcycle. Am I right, brother? You don't touch that motorcycle. And we went outside after shooting the place up and kicked over every one of their motorcycles. Man, they come out of there, bullets flying, shotguns going off. We thought bombs were... They put a contract on me. I had a name. I can't tell you. Russell McDonald knows it. He's the only living, breathing man that does, and I know the name he carried when he was in the world. I'm going to tell you right now, friend. Even they were after me. They put a contract on me. I said, I can't live like this. I'm in trouble. My wife didn't know it. Kids didn't know it. I knew I was about to die. Amen. So I realized I better quit the games. So I told the banditos, I'm out. I'm gone. They said, you don't quit, you'll die out. And we'll make sure of it. I said, well, if that's the way you want to play, then we'll play. I'm out of here. And I got on my back and rode off. I watched my rearview mirrors everywhere I went, even at the post. I had a man try to chase me down one night, and me in a post office Jeep, knowing that was a federal offense, but I still would have been just as dead. It don't matter if you're state dead or federal dead. You're dead. And I said, I believe I don't want to try that. Hey, man, I got away from him. And I'm just telling you, they made up their mind. They put a contract on me. Two strikes. I'm out of there. They're after me. I mean, they're not playing. They will kill you. Am I right, brother? They will. Don't think a thing about it. This brother tells about a man came stuck a shotgun in his chest, Brother Larry, as he rode with some pagans, I believe it was. He may not want that told. I'll let him tell it. But I'm telling you now, hey, man, they were serious. You face a shotgun face to face, and you know you're just about breathing your last breath. Amen. God got him out of it. He'll tell you about it. But bottom line was, I realized I was dead. I was just walking dead meat. Next thing you know, amen, I realized one morning I couldn't live like that any longer. My wife got up, took the children to church, and they left out in the car. I was sitting there. I had a .357 Magnum. I always carried a gun. You know, it just was life to me. It's pretty much life in Texas. But anyway, hey, man, everybody did. Hey, man, and I'm sitting there, and there's my gun. There's a half of a gallon bottle of Ancient Age bonded whiskey. Hey, man, there's two packs of cigarettes, some marijuana. Hey, man, I got beer in the refrigerator. And I said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get plumb glassy-eyed, and I couldn't get drunk. I just couldn't get drunk. See, the Holy Ghost, my family was praying. That church was praying. Hey, man, you don't know when it's somebody's last day, when they've slept there or passed their last sleepless night, and they've said, this is it. It's the end of you. Better pray. You better get a hold of them. It could be your boy, your girl, your husband, your wife. That's facing their last day. Somebody prayed for me. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody got a hold of God, and I just couldn't get drunk. So I grabbed that pistol, looked at it. The devil said, here's the way out. You can end it all right here. Don't let anybody ever fool you, friend. When you kill yourself, the word suicide in the Latin means self-murder. How many murderers are going to heaven? And you can't repent when you're dead. Come on now, when you take your own life and destroy your own self, you take something that does not belong to you, because we are bought with a price and we're not our own, and you become a murderer and you will go to hell. I know some of y'all may have had a loved one and you just thought they made it. I don't even want to deal with that. I don't even want to go into it. But I can give you a whole lot more scripture than you can give me that you're not going to make it. And if our young people don't hear it, going to be like that bunch in Richardson, Texas, not too many years back. 18 or 19 of them killed themselves in a pact that they made together as teenagers. We're going to have a suicide pact, and we're going to go to heaven. And their Baptist preacher told them that'd be fine, because once you get saved, you will always be saved no matter what you do. Come on. If you've never heard W.A. Criswell, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, or several of them roll off. Several of them say, it don't matter if you're on the bed of adultery or the bar stool drunk. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Friend, don't you know the world loves that? Don't you know the devil laughs every time somebody says that? Am I right, preachers? Are you going to help me? I mean, is that what the devil wants people to believe? Two things. Number one, you can't die lost. And number two, amen, that you will have another chance. So go ahead and live like you want to. When you come back, you can make it right. But it's a lie. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. Woo! Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm trying to help you. Trying not to be too long, but there's a lot more to the story. But I'm telling you, I had that gun cocked and at my head. And the devil said, you can get out of here. It'll be over. It'll be done. There's no more suffering, no more hurting. That lying dog. Amen. I looked and I said, well, here's my way. And I started squeezing the trigger. And a voice from somewhere, to this day, I heard it just like I'm talking. He said, you need to get up and go to Sunday school, to church. And I thought, you know, if that's God, he'd tell me to pray now. God said, get up and go to church. You see, he laid a message on that preacher's heart. He hardly slept a wink that night. And God was dealing with him, and he had no idea who it could possibly be for, because I hadn't darkened the church door in 5 or 6 years. He said, well, I'm going to be ready anyway. And buddy, I mean, he was ready. I got up. I said, look, now here's how deceived I was. I said, look, if I go to church and it don't work, I can always come back here and get drunk and blow my head off. That's just the way I talk. It was no big deal to me. It was no big deal. I was never taught that there was a real hell. Never. Because Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in heaven or hell. They don't believe in either one. Mormons don't either. There's some people that just crawled to Mecca not long ago and walked 7 times around an idol and kissed it so they can make heaven. 3 times a day they pray, and we think, well, they must be dedicated. I'm dedicated to go to hell. But David said, 7 times a day will I praise my Lord. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm going to worship God every day, all day. Oh, not because he's been good to me, but because I am a child of God. Yeah. Woo! I don't know nothing else. I got up. I said, I'll come right back here and finish it. I went outside, kicked off that old Harley. 68 Sportster, gold medal plate. Still got pictures, buddy. Ain't as nice as your ride, but it's nice. It's all I had. Kicked it off, put on them old nasty leathers, and went to church that morning. I sat right back there, right where that young fella's sitting, right back there, next to the last pew on the end. No reflection on you, that's where I sat. And when I came in, that preacher was hammered down preaching on the Shunammite woman. And she kept saying, she said, it's well. It's well. It's well. And I thought, well, if it's well with her, so what? And then he said, but her baby was dead. How could she say that? How could she? He said she had faith in God. She believed God. So she ran to the man of God. She didn't go to Ann Slanders and Dear Blabby. Huh? She didn't go to get on a chat room or some talk line or Facebook. She ran to the man of God. And she said, he said, how's it going? She said, it's well. I said, man, how could she do that? I couldn't believe it. He preached on, preached on, preached on. Got to the end, got the altar call. You know what he said? Somebody in here said, right then, here we go again. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, here we go again. I'm going to pull for a soul this morning. The only difference is, a lot of churches now, he had a praying church. I mean, folks was about near bawling, squalling, and groaning, and crying, and I'm sitting back there trying to sit through it. It's kind of hard to sit through something when you know somebody loves you. It's different if they just want you to come be like them and get in their little clique and their little group and their, come on now. And he said, I said, look, they don't nobody want me. And that preacher right then, he said, somebody is thinking that nobody wants you. He said, I got to tell you, God wants you. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He really wants you. And he wants you now, just like you are. I said, nobody wants me like I am, buddy. You don't know how bad I've been. He said, I don't care how bad you've been. Amen. God loves you right now. I said, but you don't even know what I've done. He said, this church may not understand what you've done. I said, a man reading my mind. Everything I thought, Brother Routon, he spoke it out. Oh, God, I was scared to death. My hands was gripping that pew. My fingernails was digging in the cloth. My knuckles turned white. I was popping out sweat. Amen. And he said, I'm telling you now, if you'll come to this altar, God will forgive you and it'll be like you never sinned. I said, that can't happen. He said, you're saying right now, it can't be done. He said, but I serve a God. Woo! He's able to cleanse you and forgive you. And he wants to wipe the slate clean and let you start all over. He said, get that heavy load off your back and come on down to an old-fashioned altar and pray. And friend, I about near ran to the altar that day. Sunday morning, October the 6th, 1974, I went to the altar, and when I left there, I left it all behind. Woo! I was saved. I was saved. The devil said, you can't go. Three strikes and you're out. Because when I got there, I had the banditos after me with a contract. The scorpions after me with a contract. First thing the preacher said I forgot to tell you was, when I walked in the back door, the devil would sure like to kill you. Kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. That's all he knows. So I'm glad you're here this morning. He went on. Amen. But I'm telling you, I said, three strikes. Devil said, three strikes, you're out. But Ben, I want you to know, when I got right about here, amen, God was already dealing with me. You may not like the theology and you may not agree with it, but I was already saved. I'd done made up my mind. I got it. I just didn't have it all taken care of. Man, I run down that altar. Woo! I slid in safe. Amen. The umpire called the game and said, he's safe. He's safe. He's safe. A few years later, I was pastoring a little church out in East Texas, and five banditos rode into town. And naturally, they went to the barber who cut my hair free most of the time that I was there. Amen. I'm telling you, they started in. What about Maxon? What's he doing? He's preaching. What's he preaching again? He preaches against everything. This guy was a Baptist. He said, boy, Mike Maxon preaches against everything. Amen. I about do. And you know what he said? They said, what is he preaching about the gangs? And they said he just tells people not to get involved because, amen, they're bad. Amen. And not that he don't tell what we're doing. He hadn't told the secrets and all the stuff about it. No. No. And they got on their Harleys and rode back to Dallas. When I had a chance to compromise, and I'd have been a dead preacher. Amen. But you stay true to God, he'll stay true to you. You preach the word of God without fear or favor of any man. Not looking for an offering, and not looking for a pat on the back, and preach people the truth. God will honor it. You believe that today? Oh God. And he helped me, saved me, sanctified me, filled me with the Holy Ghost, sent me to a little old town, amen, out in Cooper, Texas, way out in the woods, where there's hardly anybody. First thing you know, amen, didn't have a population of a couple hundred people. Amen. And first thing you know, we got a church running in the 70s, 80s at one time. Amen. And had a Christian school. And at one time, Brother Routon, did we have 36 students in that school? I'm talking about, amen, we took a lot of money out of the government's pocket. And they were mad at us. But then, after they started graduating, they started calling me. You got any more like that? Send them to Walmart. You got any more like that? Send them down to the fast food store. You got any more like that? We need some managers down here in this business. Great God of heaven. They knew the Bible and they knew the will of God and they knew to live right, walk right, talk right, and spit white. But they also had morals and principles and they had some patriotism and the world was glad to get them. Yeah. Praise God. I'm telling you, it ain't been a long road. It ain't been a hard road. It ain't been a rough road. It ain't been a bad road. My worst day I've ever had serving God is 100 times better than the best day I ever spent serving the devil. He's a hard taskmaster. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Now I know you're looking at me funny. I know you're going to say, I'll never come back. I'll never listen to him preach. I know I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. If you think I'm bragging, you don't even know me. I'm not talking about anything I did. I'm talking about the Lord did. I'm not going to tell you all the evil, wicked things. I'm going to drag you through the muck and the mire tonight. I'm going to tell you now, if you get involved in sin, you're going to have to get worse involved, more involved, deeper in sin. You're going to further have to commit. You're going to sell out cheaper and cheaper and cheaper until finally you are bound by a chain you cannot break. When you get there, you better hope there's a holiness preacher and a holiness church. Some of your holiness family you've been making fun of, making light of, and acting like they just didn't have sense. God gave a goose. You better hope some of them are around.
when you get in that shape. But I'm believing God, you're not going to get there. Would you stand with me? I'm believing God tonight. He's going to pull some folks right out of the fire. He's going to rescue some perishing. He's going to pluck some as a brand from the burning. And I know amongst us tonight, there are some sinners. I don't have to say if you're out there. You're out there. The reason you're out there is because somebody loves you. Somebody cares for you. Somebody wants you to hear. The reason God saved me, He wanted an example, amen, of the worst thing He could find that He could still wash up and clean up and save. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I had a man drive. Amen. It's 185 miles from Dallas to Cooper. He left the post office on Saturday night. After work, I quit him and walked off and left him. And God's took care of me ever since. I'm telling you now, He'll do it. Amen. He walked in. He sat on his front pew. His name was Marty Smith. We called him Big Head. He wore about an 8.5 hat. He's the biggest head on a man I ever seen. Amen. I said, oh, Big Head's here. Maybe he wants to get saved. Well, I said, Marty, we're glad to see you here, buddy. Never smiled, never said nothing. I preached my heart out. Amen. I can't do like Joey Hype. Preach my guts out. We'd be here all night. Amen. So I just preached my heart out. I'm telling you right now, I reached for him. I preached to him. I prayed for him. I said, God, give me that soul. I said, let's bow our heads and pray. And he got up and started walking out. I asked the deacon, I said, close the service, would you? I went out right behind him. I said, oh, Marty. Finally got him. I turned around and shake his hand. He wouldn't even shake my hand. He said, I don't want your God. I don't want your religion. I don't want to pray. I don't want nothing to do with you. I said, what'd you come for? He said, I just come. Amen. To see if it was true. Are you really preaching? Are you really saved? Are you really a Christian? I found out it's true. Listen to me, friend. Amen. God is able to deal with hearts. And so, every time you pray, God deals with the person you're praying for. Every time you call their name, He works on their case. I never had a peaceful Wednesday night. I never had an enjoyable Sunday. The whole time I was backslid. The church said, you're going to get you another man. He's out there messing around. He's defiling and polluting the land. He ain't fit to even be back in your house. You go, she said, I read the book, friend, and he ain't dead. And until death do us part was a vow we made. And he said, I'm sticking. She said, I'm sticking with it. Amen. Years she held on while others wanted to date her in the church. Smile now. Amen. While others suggested boyfriends for her. Yeah, I was out there, but I never had no fun. But Tim, I never had no peace. My guts were eat out. I had a bleeding ulcer when I came to God that Sunday morning. By the next Saturday night, when everybody was out drinking, I was sitting at home having a glass of milk and thanking God it wasn't eating my guts out. I mean, God healed me. Within a week, Brother Tim, He healed me of a bleeding ulcer, and it cauterized over on its own in a week's time. God is able to do it. I said, my God can do it. My God can do it. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Woo! Praise God. I can't tell it all. I can't tell it all. Amen. One miracle after another. Miracle. I don't mean stuff that was neat, that happened, that was exciting, interesting, or you could write a book about. I'm talking about only God could do it. One miracle after another. God did it. God did it. I'm going to tell you, friend, if there's any miracle He wants to work in all of His miracle working realm, it's getting you saved. It's getting you saved. Somebody come to the piano and let's pray tonight. Help me pray, would you? Let's let the Holy Ghost have His way. Let's obey God tonight. Woo, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I don't even want to be embarrassed. Friend, if you prayed so good last night, amen, that everybody in the church envied you, and you're a sinner right now, I want you to hit this altar. If you are lost without God and you leave out that door and you go down the winding roads I've been on since I've been here, you may not make it home. You may not make it to wherever it is you go to church. You may not make it to work. But friend, if you don't and you're saved, it don't matter. Woo, it don't matter. Amen. If God will save you, that's all that matters. That's all that matters tonight. Nothing else is important. Nothing else going on in the world but this service. And you hearing somebody say, we're praying for you. Can I get a praying church tonight? If you're saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, on your way to heaven, got the victory, wouldn't you like to take somebody with you? Oh, church. Amen. We need your help. While you're praying, if you're here and you're lost, don't you lift your hand. I want to pray for you. Just lift it up real quick. Put it back down. I'm lost and I need you to pray. I know I need God and I need to pray. Tonight I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to go back to you. I hardly ever do that. But I'm going to tell you this. God's going to deal with your heart. Right now, He's dealing with you right now. And you can only come to God when He deals with you. You cannot get saved when you want to. You cannot get saved because of circumstances in your life. You cannot get saved because things have got so bad it couldn't go any other way. You can only get saved when God is dealing with your eternal soul. Would you lift your hand? I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. And I believe God will hear me. Yes. Praise God. Come on. Will there be another? Son, won't you lift your hand? Young lady, won't you lift your hand? Just let me pray for you. Just let me pray for you. God wants you to be saved. Above all else, I must be saved. Nicodemus, you're a rich man, you're a powerful man, you're a brilliant man, a learned man, and a teacher of men. But you must be born again. There's nobody too poor and nobody too rich that they don't need to get saved. There's nobody so lost and nobody so good that they don't need to be saved. God's working. Come on, church, help me pray. I can't preach 45 minutes and give a two-minute altar call. I tell you, we're dealing with souls. I think we've had about four saved here. Amen, in this meeting. Great God. God is helping. You hear me? God is helping. God is helping. But the revival, friend, is on because you need help tonight. You're here because God timed your journey to be in this house tonight. Please don't leave here lost. Please don't leave here. A backslid holiness preacher amongst the real strict people came to my church. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost moved that morning. Power of God was real. He began to walk out. I followed him out. I said, sir, I'm the pastor here. What are you doing here? Told me his name. It wasn't the name I knew, but if I told you, you'd know his name. Big time in a strict holiness movement. And you know what he said? Preacher, I just don't want to die lost. Pray for me. I don't want to die lost. A man who once preached to souls. And now backslid. He got right before he died. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you right now, friend. He had a rough life. He made it rough on his children. And he made it rough on his grandchildren. Then he died. I believe he made it. But I'm not the judge. But I'm going to tell you, friend. You're gambling with something. It ain't a bingo card. It ain't a lottery ticket. You're gambling with your eternal soul tonight. If you don't lift your hand. Because that's where you start, admitting I need God. Admitting that you know that you need God. He wants to help you. He really wants to help you. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, church, let's pray one more time. Let's pray once more. Lord, we're asking you to help us tonight. God, we want conviction to settle in this house. We need your power to move right now. God, we need you to move in this house tonight. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Above all else, I must be saved. One more time I'm going to ask you. Lift your hand, put it down real quick. You saints, praise God. I ain't going to mistake you for no sinner. It don't matter anyway. God knows I don't. I want you to be honest with me tonight. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. That's the first step. Nobody in this building is saved unless they were once lost. Nobody in here grew up saved. Nobody in here grew up on a holiness church bench right with God. Nobody. Nothing but the blood can wash away my sin. If you're here and you're lost, lift your hand. We're going to pray right here. There's a few that have. I want to pray for them. Help me pray. Would you, Father, we need you here tonight. Asking you to move in this house. Bless and anoint. God, to touch those. Oh, yeah, by some of my mouth. Oh, God. Oh, I feel like somebody, oh, God, is leaving this house. And they're not serious with you, Lord. They're not really meaning that they want to get right. Oh, God. I don't know why they came. But Lord, whatever the reason is, deal with their heart. If they don't come to this altar and pray, I want you to give them a good dose of conviction. Let it settle in on them until they cannot do anything else but what I did. Run to the church and get saved. Kneel down at their couch or their bed or by their desk or somewhere and pray. Stop the car and drop tears on the steering wheel while they pray through. But God, don't let them die lost. Oh, God. Woo! Don't let them die lost. Oh, in Jesus' name. Praise God. Maybe while we're coming to pray, some will come on in and pray through. If you do, you find you a holiness church somewhere. And you'll find some people that love you. If they claim to be holiness and don't love you just like you are, they're not holiness. You're in the wrong church. I mean that. Holiness is not hardness and it's not hatefulness. But it's right. If you can't love the lost, who can you love? God loved the lost. So much so, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on Him should not perish. The NIV says could not perish, but it's a lying devil's book. Should not perish. It's up to you, friends. Your choice tonight. Could we pray? Ask God to help. Everybody just find you a place to pray. I know everybody can't get around the front. Pray where you are. Please pray before you leave the building. Please pray. If you're lost and you want me to come back there, I'll walk back there. If you know somebody around you saved, reach over and touch them and say, I need a prayer. Please, could you pray with me? I need a prayer tonight. Oh, God, please don't leave this place lost. Find somebody to help you pray in Jesus' name.